Tavar Yerushalayim, Rosh Hashiva, Rav Horowitz, Deep Significance of Tzitzis, Sources are Bereshis, Chapter 4, 1 through 11, Bamidbar, Chapter 15, Verse 37 to the end, Devarim, Chapter 22, Verse 11 and 12, Zichra, Chapter 8, Verse 19 to 23.
Today we'll continue in the shiur about tzitzis.
So,
it says about tzitzis, I'm complaining to him. You've got to put them on the corners of the wings of your garments. This brings us to the question of Brahmins, and why the corners called wings. So we have to go back to the beginning of the Chumash, where we find that Adam and Chava, they were without clothes, they were not ashamed,
and
they clicked the clinging one to the other. Because they're not taken from the Isaka Tobara. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They only knew good. They were given a body and Hashem from the earth. And within the soul, breathe into them by the soul of Hashem, which is the highest spiritual essence, which never becomes lost. The Shalom means the breath, but it is not human breath, the breath of Hashem, which is eternal. That's our highest connection with Hashem, which means Hashem resists the silent spirit on eternity again. But meanwhile, because they sinned, they were driven out from the level of Gan Eden. Entirely. Now they would have to struggle with good and evil. They couldn't claim to be purely perfect. To me, Hashem. So, shortly after the procurement of Gan Eden, we find in the Chumash the story of Cain and Hevel, the first children to be born to Adam and Chava. There it says that the main cause of the struggle between the two brothers, who were opposite to one another, Cain at Kina, who was jealous of his brother, receiving grace and favor and eyes of Hashem more. Hevel received more than him as the younger brother, and he had to also make use of Hevel of the sheep, had to make use of the garments which covered the nakedness in order to be able to enter into the struggle with good and evil. And says there in Chazal, Rashi brings it as well, what was the offering which Cain brought? He brought the worst remnants of Pishon, of linen. And what did Abel supply? He brought from the sheep an offering, and the sheep produce wool, which makes me not wool. So the easiest way to understand this is also the deep reading in the commentary of Maral, because the sages say the battle between between two extremes of the gates of God and the gates of Torah. Omeus Achesa, Omeus Adin. Omeus Achesa is homeless. It's best described in the end, it comes to the same solution, the Maral. It comes from this. Many quotations from the Zohar, from the ancient Midrashim, it comes to the same principle of the two opposites, which he described before, good and evil. So Rashi says, Minakaru Asher Pishto. So he brought to them, as a result of which, when the blood of heaven was crying from the earth, even the earthly body was badly influenced.
Your eyes
seek food and the seek pleasures. That's the purpose of the thesis. It's all interrelated. And so, that when analyzes the body of man, and this is the subject of the Chodos of always, in this great book on the juices of the heart, he says that if you analyze the body of man, you find so many miracles that it's impossible for it to be done to any human being. It's surely the work of the Creator. In fact, this is so, because it used to be an idea that was such as the material remnants of the, which explain, supposed to explain the way in which many different parts of the body, which can't be explained to their use. Today one knows every part of the body, even the smallest particle, has fantastic use in creating more and more health for the human being, health of the body, health of the mind. And that's why the Chinuch says, what is the purpose of tzitzis? It's in order to purify the body. That's what it means, because from the body you learn so many principles. But in general interpretation of tzitzis, it's more like for many sources in Roshan and the Gemara, it's more like the interpretation of Ora Chaim, who says that what I understand tzitzis, we understand that since the tzitzis covered the Ora Chaimish, covered the Seder Torah and the Kruvim, and since the whole of the Beit HaMikdash was under the concept of holiness, we have to be careful to keep on the highest level. And the Kohen Gadol, he wore garments to holiness, which comes from the tzitzis, comes from the sea, the marine creature, which produces the garment to holiness. The holiness means the principle you solve the call. And this is the principle of the power of Hashem, which we see in the sky, like we described in the previous year. It brings you to have the awareness of Hashem at all times. And this is the reason why, straight after love, it says, you've got to observe my principles of imitation. We also learn to call it God, he wore eight garments. And this is Malal's concept of the principle of significance of numbers, also adopted by Rav Hirsch, that six represents the 6 days of creation, that means creation, God is the creator, every part of God is created by him, and the seventh is to recognize that he's still, we've got to stop our creativity, not that our creativity goes to the highest level, that today, that is the tendency of mankind to see our creativity, the mind, and able to more and more technology, into the whole world is a technology, and this technology is swapping away the awareness of the soul, which is an important connection with Hashem, which contains the part, the area of the neshama. So this is the principle of seven, to recognize everything, and the principle of eight is that which stands even above nature. That's why Mithrila is also on the eighth day. People call it the eight. And he said, Zoisi, what are Aaron and Koyim? He has to wear eight garments, and Zoisi, Chutan Mila, or Chutan Tzitzis, also the Shin, is also the same concept. And this is the deeper concept of Sefer Ofishtim, which goes throughout so many demon and Tumen and Tala. So we see that this is also the significance of Chayim and Heber, the same principle. So I think this is illustrated, it's going to be more illustrated, Because these days we know much more about Zechilas than we've ever been known. Any comments or questions?
The Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, brings out a lot of discussion about the knots, the times it's woven, and the gematria is connected to a shem. And with regards to everything with the garments, Cain and Abel, and these opposing forces, can you comment on what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about with the connection of the way it's woven and the knots and the gematria is connecting to a shem?
And there's the thing when it says
כיסו לכם את השירה הזאת, ולמתם את בני ישראל, כל כותב, write down this song and teach it to the children of Israel. So he had been asked by us, from here we learn out the mitzvah, writing the Sefer Torah. But it doesn't contain any elements of any mitzvahs in. It's just them. So these are principles, right? And get down to the messenger to the elders, the Hinnom and Yomaroth, they'll tell them, I'm the Turkish and I'm the Turkish and the Sa. But from there we learn, anyone who writes a letter in the Sefer Torah is also fulfilling in part the mitzvah writing the Sefer Torah. From that pasuk, the pasuk in, so therefore the point is that that pasuk refers to all the Shabbat, back to the connection, Torah, Shabbat, and the Sa, refers to all the mitzvahs of the Torah. That's what Rambam regards, and many other Shabbat, they regard Tara mitzvahs in the tradition that there are 613. Because some Rishonim would say, well, the mitzvahs, if you count the mitzvahs, they seem to be more or perhaps less. If it do say that was 613, but they say that price in the Gomorrah is like a loch of Bishop Sinai, the 613, that's on the Pascha and the Rambam. So this explains many things. So, if we reckon, therefore, the synthesis, how do they remind us? So Rashi says, for 630 mitzvot, and then you have a number of knots, and you have eight threads. So the eight threads, where do you know that from? Because eight throughout the Torah is the concept of the covenant with Hashem. That's like the highest level. So we have to explain also what's before Shavua, and positives of Shavua. Shavua is like a contract. Make a contract with someone and not allowed to break it. If you use the name of Hashem, you break a contract, you make a sword, then you transgress the prohibition of saying Shavua Shavua. So it's like courts, but in courts, then Jesus has to swear by the Bible. He has to swear by the Bible. What I'm going to say is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If you do that, it's called a Shavua Shavua, Shavua Shavua. To do with that for to atheists, in this respect, they said, you could also say, by my honest word, they say, I promise that I'll teach you the truth. Without using the concept of Shavua, say, make an oath and fight, that's the worst thing in the fact that it pays the Ten Commandments, but it says, should take the name of Hashem in vain. So this all goes to the tzitzis. But the tzitzis in Tanya, and let's say the concept of the mitzvah, the totality, for which Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai, all the people of Israel, when they came to accept the Torah, we say all the souls of all generations of the Jews have within themselves the awareness that we believe in God, we believe in Torah, like Amisor. And Amisor could be allowed to go and hear the Torah at Sinai after they purified themselves from all the impurities which came from Egypt. Many of the purifications require also 7 days, and the eighth day would give purity, the same principle. All goes to the symbolism of the tzitzit of God. That's why we make sure this.
Regarding tzitzit in the Mishnah, there's a look in the Mishnah whether it's one mitzvah by tying and getting everything ready, sages say that it's one mitzvah. Rabbi Yudah said, no, it's four mitzvahs. When you're doing it, you're doing four mitzvahs. But that's not the understanding. Can you give a deeper explanation on why Chazal says, no, you have to think of it in terms of one mitzvah, not four? Thank you.
I have to make research to answer the question. question. So therefore, if you have further question,
first one important time.
And the Lord Ram says that because of the lack of Kalut, and less knowledge we possess, so we no longer know in our time what greatness is. At the time of the Moram, greatness was very expensive. So there was another dye, vegetable dye, which came from certain fruits that produced the same color, sky blue, indigo, which is called Caloena. It was a dye which was taken from trees. It was not kosher, because it says in this ancient tradition it's going to be from the seas, some of the creature in the seas. And even when I did further research on tzitzis with also Professor Sukernik, who was the leader of the archaeological excavations in the caves, the Kofba caves, and he said in the Kofba caves they still found remnants of the precious in addition to the Caloena. They could identify both types existed in those years. So the first one to research was the Rajin Arabi called the Rhino. And he wrote many books proving that he found the Israelites. But the main Gedolei Torah of the era, led by Chaim Brisk and others, they said, one shouldn't use it. But both the Rajin and Hasidim continued, and also the Rasi of Hasidim, they continued. Because he wrote many defenses, which seemed quite convincing. I mean, so at the time, when I was young, I was able to read through most of the books. Now that we know where they are, maybe someone can find it with the yeshiva, maybe David can find it. David.
Yes.
Maybe you can find it. Because it's very revealing. He spent, I think he spent almost a year, most of the time was in Italy. Yeah, I think he came back and forth a few times from Poland. There's a big, in Italy, there's a very big aquarium which contains all the marine beings that exist under the waters of the Mediterranean. So he came to find it. But not so satisfactory. However, when Herzog came out with his very scientific research, which he made, obviously, the books he got from the library, so was able to produce what you see there. The little diagrams. I think we produced, as well as the article in the appendix, in the art scroll. The art scroll did something very thorough, and it also gave in the appendix the full text. Part of the full text of the analysis of Professor. As you will see, diagrams that it is very interesting. If you
development in the art school, and they'll explain also how this is confirmed from Talmudic sources. Now you will find in the art school, now you will find in the Talmudic encyclopedia, which under Philozon, there they give all the sources in the Talmud.
Here, I'm not.
and publish that, publish it to the whole community, I'm sure that it will gain a lot of interest. I think I want to ask you first, if you who are here can help me to organize this possibility in the near future. We'll start one in here and see how it goes. So are you ready to help?
We'll talk it over, Rebbe.
Yeah, I'll talk it over
soon. So, Rebbe. Yes. Yes.
So, let's say this research were totally true, and it is the Murex trunculus, right? Which, not, you know, maybe it is, right? But we have a Gemara in Menachos that says, well, it had to be made by an expert dye maker, and it's made with a bunch of herbs. In other words, the Tehillah dye is not just from the green apple, it's also boiled with herbs. So,
speak without the microphone.
Oh, let me speak without the microphone.
He's a bit understanding. Yeah.
Sorry.
No,
so, we have a Gemara source in Menachos that says it has to be made by an expert dye maker. And it's not just from the marine animal, it's also boiled together with herbs as well. What are the quantities of the herbs? It looks like the herbs were there to make it color fast. They didn't just put dye on it, they didn't just put the animal dye on it. They were doing a process with herbs as well. The Gemara says it has to be this way. So even if this were the dye, this is not necessarily the Tehillah the Gemara is talking about. And in fact, Rabbi Eliashiv writes a 5-point letter saying to stay away from the Tehillah that people are wearing today. And Rabbi Kanievsky says stay as far away from it as possible. Because again, which herbs are they? What exactly are the herbs doing to the final product? And I tell you something, I see a lot of people wearing the Tehillah dye and it fades very, very fast in the washing machine. Is that the Tehillah that we're talking about? Rabbi Eliashiv says no. Can you comment on what the Gemara says about the herbs? Thank you.
I'll have to do the research. I haven't even seen those Toshuot. If you could show me where the Toshuot were coming, yes, Eliashiv would be great.
Okay. Yeah. I have to go find it.
Yes. Story about Rabbanan. That when Truman, just before the State of Israel was announced, just after it had been announced, so Truman was under great pressure by the oil magnates. Who were primarily financing the Muslims? They need the oil. That he should not recognize the state. So Truman, who felt that since the negotiations had agreed, the Balfour Declaration, to make Palestine the home for the Jewish people, then we should allow it. So, together with his son, he went to visit Truman. And he opened the Bible and told him the last words of Divrei Hayamim, of the last words in the Bible, where it says that Cyrus produced a declaration that all his Persian Empire, that after Babylonians had destroyed the temple and everything else, that he was allowing the Jews, Cyrus, get back to their land and develop it. And he made a declaration that everyone who goes up from the people where you are should go up. So you see that Cyrus, the end of the Bible, giving the hope to the Jewish people, is that you, Truman, will be the Cyrus who will also return home for the Jewish people after so many persecutions. They should now be given the opportunity to build up their life in the land of Israel. And that was told to me by people who were close to Rabbi Yaakov Herzl, his name is Sassan. Rabbi Yaakov Herzl himself was also quite a big time Chacham and produced one of the best commentaries on the Mishnah, which I have at one time. So let's hope that we all get back to the time when 70 people said, the sense of the state of the church of Zechariah, there will come a time when 10 people from each of the 70 nations will grasp hold Kanaf, Beged, Shelahudi, by the corner, or the wing, the corner of the garment of the Jew. And they will say, we want to join you because we know God is with you. And why is it called the Kanaf? Kanaf means, Kanaf the Sharim means the wings, because the tzitzis, these are the tzitzis. So the nation will grasp hold of the tzitzis, four corner garment, and they will say, we want to join you in time of Mashiach. As we see them also these days, all the Gentiles will come to the Kotel, and that will be B'tzeh Hashem Mimotah Mashiach, Shiavor B'mehir V'yamin Omein.
Good question, good.
In fact, given enough chance to someone else, if someone wants to make
you want to make a comment?
No one?
Okay.
I have a question on tzitzis. So, trying to tell it. So in the beginning of Berachot, in the first chapter, the time of the starting of the Avoda is connected to the exact coloration of the Tehelet. Can you comment on the connection between the coloration of the Tehelet at the exact color and also why it's leading to the start of the Avoda in the day in the temple? Thank you.
About the mic.
So the Mishnah talks about the malokit between the sages and Rabbi Eliezer, about looking at the tzitzis and the color.
Yeah.
And the coloration is when they can start to see it, that's when they start the avoda in the temple. That's what the Mishnah says in Berachot. And I was wondering about the exact coloration and the light and how it's connected with the start of the avoda for the day in the temple. And with the exact color of the Tehelet, and if you could comment on why this is going to be the yardstick for starting the Avoda each day in the temple. Thank you.
Everyone who is Thank you.
Thank you very much.